Does Britain need to go slow, be told to go slow to survive a looming energy crisis triggered by Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu's war on Iran? Because yesterday we heard how climate campaigners and some transport campaigners are calling for not just private jets to be banned, which I think it's hardly the biggest issue for most LBC listeners, I should imagine. But it was their call for speed limits to be reduced to save petrol and diesel that really caught my attention. Why? Well, is it because I'm a bit of a petrol head? Well, yeah, to some degree. Although most of the time I'm fixing my old British bikes rather than riding them. And truth be told, they're pretty economical too when they're going. No, the reason it caught my attention is that in my experience, I don't believe us Brits really like being told what to do by the man. And if cutting speeds is an effective means of saving fuel, I mean, you'd be daft not to float the idea. Thus far, of course, our government has offered nothing but assurances that everything's going to be fine, despite the UK having scant reserves of all the major fuels, aside from renewables, I guess. We have less than a month's worth of petrol, slightly less of diesel, and never more than 12 days' supply of gas, often as little as just two. The International Energy Agency has already advised its member countries, they control the emergency reserves of oil around the world. They've already advised member countries, including us in the UK, to consider lowering speed limits and limiting when cars can drive as part of a range of COVID-style emergency measures to respond to the conflict. The climate change lobby, they weren't first out the traps to argue for a fuel-saving strategy since the first missile struck Iran at the end of February. In my research, I might be wrong, but in my research, it was the centre-left think tank, the Institute of Public Policy Research, who first made headlines some 10 days ago, calling for a 20-mile-an-hour limit in all towns and cities and 60-mile-an-hour on motorways. What do we think about that? 0345 606 0973, the number. I don't care whether you're a professional driver, a haulier, a cabbie, or just a regular car or van user. My instincts tell me you ain't gonna like it. So, am I right? Am I wrong? Would I support this truthfully? Would I stick to the speed limits? I rarely go above 60 these days as I've got older, because I find going a bit slower makes driving less stressful. Anyway, the 20-mile-an-hour limit, I have to say, has the opposite effect, although I am getting better. I have found it quite stress-inducing when the way is clear. Lowering speed limits would be a dual win, the IPPL claims. Lowering fuel demand while safer streets support swapping short trips to walking and cycling. This should be packaged with advice on how to drive more efficiently, alongside recommendations for increased home working and carpooling. Now, when Wales reduced its speed limit to 20 mile an hour in 2023, a poll only this year found more than half the country opposed it, despite it leading to a 10% drop in road casualties. The most important stuff here really is fuel saving, because that's what we're talking about. Cutting your motorway speed from 70 to 60 reduces your fuel consumption by roughly 9 to 10%. There's more aerodynamic drag. Your engine has to work harder if you push through at 70. And on a 100-mile motorway trip, a typical petrol car getting 35 miles per gallon at 60 miles an hour compared to 30 miles per gallon at 70 would save around £3 to £4 in fuel. Time cost, driving 100 miles at 60 mile an hour instead of 70 mile an hour adds roughly 15 minutes to your journey time. Factor in the M6 and all sense of time goes out the window. Now, for us grey hairs, of course, this is nothing new. The fuel crisis of 1973 and 74 saw the government of the day invest heavily in infomercials to show us the way.
I'm leaving my car at home tomorrow. How about you? Most of us don't have to use our car on Sunday, so don't. If we each save a little fuel, we'll all save a lot. The best way to save petrol is not to drive. Next best way is not to drive fast. And don't go over 50. If we each save a little fuel, we'll all save a lot.
And even better than the very clear messaging there, some of you may recognise or remember that was the voice of Peter Cushing, who, until Peter Mandelson came along, Peter Cushing was the original Prince of Darkness, you know, in all the Hammer horror films. I must have been, well, I was 8, 9 at the time of the fuel crisis, and I can remember how people were using engine braking rather than foot braking to slow down, to save precious drops of petrol. Why isn't the government asking us to do it now? The IEA has said we should be considering these things. In a moment, I'll be catching up with Trevor Kavanagh, former political editor of The Sun. I'm joined first by Bruce Williamson, spokesperson for Rail Future. Good morning to you, Bruce.
Morning, Matthew.
Do you think the British public is ready for the kind of instruction, the kind of nannying, I suppose, we've just heard there from Peter Cushing in 1974?
It almost sounded like a Monty Python sketch.
Didn't it just? it was just so black and white, wasn't it? Don't drive on Sundays.
Well, I won't drive today. I mean, you know, obviously no one likes being told what to do they? But, you know, the alternative, I suppose, well, apart from taking the train, which I'd advocate, you know, might be that, you know, we have a kind of fuel crunch and prices go through the roof. So this may turn out to be a sensible suggestion. And we've been there before, of course. Even insanely car-friendly USA restricted speed limits to 55 back in the fuel crisis of whatever.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Yeah. So that's when the Americans came in with their... And that must be very... I mean, I've been on American roads sometimes where you can see maybe 10 miles ahead of you, and it is frustrating sometimes driving slowly. I mean, the 20-mile-an-hour limit, I mean, I can see all the advantages in terms of human safety and in terms of saving fuel. Are British drivers ready to comply?
Well, I think you mentioned the Wales experience.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, probably yes, with resistance, I suppose. You know, the it will be enforced. There'll be speed cameras, and the driver may have no choice but to do it. But I'm not sure what the fuel saving would be at 20 miles an hour.
I don't know that either. I've only seen the motorway speeds. Are you surprised the government hasn't done anything more proactive than offer assurances everything's going to be fine?
Yeah, I think that may change.
I do.
the aircraft industry, you know, they're cancelling flights. They're looking ahead to a shortage of fuel and planning for it. And, you know, we are very, very vulnerable. You know, we've never been self-sufficient in oil, even during the glory days of North Sea. And you made the point earlier about self-sufficiency. You know, it doesn't really apply to wind and solar. So there's an even stronger case now. Obviously, we advocate for electrifying our railways for all sorts of reasons, and fuel independence is yet another one. The tankers may stop, but the wind will carry on blowing, and we can keep the trains running on green energy.
Just on the rail issue, I can't use my regular rail line today, Southwestern, because for the second Sunday in a row, it's a double replacement bus service. And
yeah.
And then when I finally get to my destination station, there are no buses that run on a Sunday to get me home. So we've got a long way to go, I would suggest. I mean, I live out in the sticks, but we've got a long way to go to get our public transport system really up to scratch. Bruce, pleasure talking to you. Let me bring Trevor Kavanagh in now, former political editor of The Sun.